And you are with The Shilling Show weekdays from noon to 2 right here on 1070 WINA. I have promised you since last week a major announcement to be made today. And I will tell you that we are in the process, we meaning myself personally as a representative of shillingshow.com and in my capacity here as the community watchdog, I have filed a lawsuit against Greene County, specifically in reference to county administrator, the unresponsive John Barkley, and the Board of Supervisors. I have never had to go to this length before, and yet I have faced many FOIA issues over the years. I'm going to give you the backstory here, and if you want to see the announcement of the lawsuit, you can go online to shillingshow.com, and we'll have more information for you as my attorney, Chaim Mandelbaum, will be joining us later on this week. But I want to tell you why this is so important to me, and it has become increasingly important. One, as a former elected official and having been subject to FOIA in the past myself, I understand what is required and what is involved. And number two, as a community watchdog, and now we have been extended to look out over Greene County, and I can't tell you the number of people from Greene County who were aware of my efforts here before I announced them publicly, who have been privately supportive and overjoyed that a seemingly corrupt government is being forced to respond, or hopefully compelled by the courts to respond to what is a very simple request, which has been largely ignored. And I'll get to the details in a second. But where does this all come from? Well, we could step back to my tanglings and entanglements with the city of Charlottesville after I left office. In fact, while I was there, I think I had to issue FOIAs to get stuff out of the former city manager, Gary O'Connell.
Does that make sense?
Well, not really, but that's what has to be done sometimes when people won't answer your questions or give you the information. And so I'm not afraid of these people in government because, really, they're supposed to be serving us, and yet they act as if they are our masters. So let us go down a little trip on memory lane as we talk about some of the problems I've had previously, and then we go to some of the details of what's going on presently. Yes, a history of FOIA issues when people thought that they could stomp all over a meaningless little insignificant radio show or blog, as George Soros, our friend, likes to refer to us. Puny and insignificant? Hardly. Because we're willing to stand up against these tyrants of government who refuse to follow the law, to wit. Let's talk about Rick Barrick, the former public relations manager, the city spokesperson in the city of Charlottesville. You know, all of this came out with Rick Barrick when I asked him some years ago to provide me with a list of names as to who was he sending his press releases to. It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I, as a person on the radio, as a citizen at that time, and a taxpayer of the city of Charlottesville, wanted to see who was on the list of people that were being sent press releases. Oh my goodness, the city went through hoops to avoid it. In fact, going out to the extent of asking everybody on the list if it was okay if the city would please release their email address to this host. Oh, may we please, will you give us your permission or not? Utterly ridiculous. You see, Albemarle County does and has for years sent to an open list, so we know who they're sending to. I was wondering what the secret was, and we eventually got some information after a lot of squabbling from Rick Barrick and the city of Charlottesville. Oh, then we had an issue with Cass Cannon, Charlottesville City Schools, the former spokesperson for the city schools, again, who I support to a very high tune, lots of taxes paid to those schools. And I said, Cass Cannon, I'm a citizen, also happen to be a member of the media. I would like to have a copy of every press release that you send out. I want you to send it to me. I want you to add me to your list. Cass Cannon, former spokesperson for the Charlottesville City Schools, said, no way, Jose. We're not going to because you are a commentator and not a news person. Well, I'm very grateful for the involvement of Charlottesville's own Rutherford Institute and John Whitehead, who sent a little letter over to Cass Cannon and said, you need to pony up. You do not hold the keys to the list, and you cannot decide that someone is or is not entitled to your press releases. Well, Cass Cannon eventually capitulated, added me to the list, and I found out later was extremely embarrassed because Cass Cannon, who formerly held the keys to the Charlottesville City Schools PR department, was a donor to the Rutherford Institute, which of course supports causes like this, open and transparent government, civil liberties. Interesting, isn't it? And then we had my one-year investigation going back to Rick Barrick in the city of Charlottesville. My one-year investigation after I noticed some very strange things in a general FOIA request. So it was some years ago. I wanted to see what Rick Barrick was up to for his $94,000 a year because I thought there was a lot of fooling on around going on. And so I asked, after this first brouhaha with the information being withheld, hey, send me a week of what you're up to. I want to see every email you sent or received over the course of a week. Some people call that phishing. I call it being a watchdog and ensuring good governance. And so I got a multitude of email from Rick Barrick. 1 week's worth of email. My goodness, the things he was up to. Well, there were a couple things there that struck me as odd, but I didn't quite know what to do with them. And in fact, I had to sit there and ruminate on them for a number of months before I figured out there was something strange here. It had to do with bid rigging. And in a nutshell, and you can see the entire story online at shillingshow.com. If you go there and search for Rick Barrick, you'll find it. It had to do with showing favoritism to a bidder in a competitive bidding process wherein one person put in a bid and Rick Barrick sent an email to another party whom he had, appeared to have favored based on email correspondence and said, hey, if you just make your bid for a shorter period of time, get this, it will reduce the dollar amount and you'll win. Even though the taxpayer was getting the short end of the stick or the raw deal. Ultimately, Rick Barrick turned over emails in a second request, but many that were present in the first request were missing. It came out that Rick Barrick had destroyed emails in order to thwart my investigation, not being aware that I knew these emails existed and had them in my possession. Of course, he came up with all manner of excuses. Oh, my hard drive crashed. Does that sound familiar? I wonder if Hillary was paying attention to Rick Barrick when he tried to get out of this. Ultimately, Rick Barrick was pinned down, and in spite of the institutional protectionism and arrogance of Charlottesville City Hall under the unqualified Maurice Jones regime, Rick Barrick was forced to resign, or made a very good decision to resign after a full investigation, and was dispatched from his $95,000 a year job, for which he really was unqualified in the first place. And I will say parenthetically, the replacement for Rick Barrick, Miriam Dickler, has done much, much better. And then we had Library Gate with the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We've got documents that are not appearing there in questioning. And many people just have the attitude of, we won't give you the documents because we don't have to and you better make me. So how does all of this tie into Greene County and John Barkley? Well, it started out with a little problem with an egg drop that they had scheduled up there. They had helicopters coming in. The Gateway Church had made these arrangements with Greene County. And Greene County Administrator John Barkley canceled at the very last minute. I asked under FOIA request for some information and got what I would call an anemic response from John Barkley. I don't think he followed the law. I was basically brushed to the side. And you know, at the time I was too busy and I simply let it go. But it came to my attention that there was another issue subsequent to that one regarding a loan. And this was from one of our deputy community watchdogs regarding a loan that was given to John Barkley by the Greene County Board of Supervisors. And it was a very odd situation because I was hearing conflicting information. Mr. Barkley apparently, and I don't know this because he never answered my questions in the FOIA response, apparently Mr. Barkley was not paying his retirement through his paycheck. And then it came out that he owed the money. And again, I'm just surmising here because he didn't give me the documentation, but this is what I've heard. and then ask the Board of Supervisors for about a $5,700 loan, interest-free, by the way, to be paid off over 3 years. So I wrote up there to Mr. Barkley and asked him to please provide me with an electronic copy of any document created, sent, or received by elected, appointed, or staff of Greene County referencing either directly or indirectly the loan provided to Mr. Barkley and or the circumstances surrounding the necessity of the loan. I also asked for a copy of Mr. Barkley's employment contract. Now, that's a very broad FOIA request. In other words, that's all-encompassing. If the Board of Supervisors gave Mr. Barkley a loan, certainly in somewhere in Greene County, there would be some documentation about the necessity, the request for the loan, how it is we want to structure this loan, all of these things. Can you imagine? And Mr. Barkley returned one document, and that was the final agreement for the loan. In other words, this just appeared out of thin air with no backstory? Hardly likely. Well, Mr. Barkley went on to claim that the employment contract that I requested from him was protected by FOIA. That's right. He said that the document was exempted from public disclosure, this is his quote now, under the provisions of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Well, I contacted my friends in high places who have very good understanding, including the Virginia Coalition for Open Government, who sent me the following. Employee contracts are subject to FOIA, period. They are not personnel records. And went on to cite Virginia Code 2.2-3705.8 that these records are not protected and must be released upon request. Mr. Barkley was wrong on all counts. Government and institutional arrogance. And by the way, the Greene County Board of Supervisors are not off the hook here, because my request was sent not only to John Barkley, but every single member. There are five members, I believe, of the Greene County Board of Supervisors. Every single member of that group was FOIA'd directly with this request, and not a single response was received from any of them. And so, therefore, I have taken up the mantle, put myself on the line financially, because these things do not happen for free, to file suit against Greene County. My attorney, Chaim Mandelbaum, will be handling the case, and we will have him here on the program on Wednesday to bring more details about what's going on. It is a sad day. It is a very sad day in Virginia when we have to step up with a lawsuit in order to gain access to documents that are promised to us by Virginia statute. But I'm willing to do it on behalf of this listening audience, on behalf of the citizens of Greene County, and on behalf of good, open, and transparent governance.